I'm Pat Kerrigan, and the Sonoma Developmental Center opened in 1891 in Glen Ellen or Eldridge, depending on how you like to describe it. It is closing in 2018, and on the KSRO live line with us is Supervisor Susan Gorin. It's in her district, and she knows a lot about the SDC. Good morning, Supervisor Gorin.
Good morning. It's great to talk with you again, Pat.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. I've been working on this issue for 5 years, along with a number of community groups and different partners and agencies from the county. So it's near and dear to my heart. Probably you could say it's my top priority.
And speaking of top priorities, I know that the top priority in terms of what happens before SDC closes at the end of the year is making sure that the patients that are still housed at the Sonoma Developmental Center are appropriately rehoused somewhere else.
That has been a consistent concern of the coalition for the past couple of years. Ever since the announcement of the closure, we knew that that was coming. It was just a matter of time. Disappointed that it happened so fast. It's the fastest closure that the state has worked on through all of the developmental centers. And so that's disappointing. We were hoping to keep it open quite a bit longer because there are many generations of county residents who have worked there.
Oh, that's for sure.
They love living there. So it's the major employer in Sonoma Valley, even probably today. So we've been keeping track of the community placement issue for a very long time, recognizing that even though the population is low now, it once housed 3,000 different residents there at one point and 13,000 employees. But all of those residents have homes with different regional centers around the states, and that's their medical care home with their regional center. So not all of those remaining residents will be moving into the community in Sonoma County. Some will move to the peninsula, the East Bay, certainly Solano County. And I have toured some of the homes in Santa Rosa and elsewhere trying to understand what their physical needs are and how they're taking pretty expensive homes to begin with and pouring quite a bit of money to really introduce resident safety, especially those residents who may have behavioral challenges and have to keep those sharp household instruments and knives and scissors locked up.
Right.
So I think it's moving forward carefully. The remaining issue are those significantly challenged behavioral clients that may still reside in the center, and also those folks who are in crisis stabilization. Although the state allocated money to create crisis homes of five residents or less, one in each of the counties, I'm not sure that that capacity is great enough so that we can appropriately address their behavioral challenges. But we know that the center has been very important as an employer, and the coalition has been working carefully with the community to start visioning what they might like to see happen on the site, understanding there's 146 aging buildings and every part of the infrastructure is seriously decayed. It's going to take a lot of investment to bring the infrastructure upgrades happen, as well as the retrofit of the buildings.
And still, Supervisor Gorin, still there are over 1,600 acres of prime real estate in that area. And once the patients have been taken care of, is it feasible for the state to make the improvements needed, or is it possible that the state could sell that property outright?
The state, up to this point, has said very emphatically they have no intention of selling the property. At least that's what they've said up to this point.
Okay.
A slight correction, the center, the entire property at the campus is quite a bit less than that. It's probably about half of that amount. But your point is still accurate. It's large. It's about 700 or 800 acres. At least half, probably more than half, maybe 500 acres of that, is located in a voter-approved community separator. And the intensification of use will not be allowed under our general plan because we've approved that the last time we reauthorized the community separators. So what we're really looking at is, and I think that land should be transferred to the state park system and the regional park system because those parks lie adjacent to the undeveloped land. And in fact, community residents, people in the community use that land already, hiking
yes.
and biking. So what we're really talking about is a couple of hundred acres in the footprint on the valley floor on both sides of Arnold Drive. And it is a conundrum. How did we find the funds to retrofit that? And we've been exploring the model of a nonprofit trust similar to the Presidio, where a board of directors was established to make that beautiful area in San Francisco be self-sustaining over a period of 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm convinced we can do that. There's enough interest out there in the community. And we have to be pretty hard-nosed in suggesting that this is not free land. This is not free buildings. So every nonprofit, homeless advocacy group
yeah.
are going to be able to go in there and get free lodging. It has to be self-sustaining, and each tenant will have to contribute to the financial sustainability of the whole. That being said, the SDC has been looked at by the state and is continuing to be looked at by the state for emergency housing for fire victims and perhaps construction workers. And there may be other state partners and agencies interested in exploring the availability of the land, the buildings, and trying to figure out how to meet their immediate needs.
Absolutely. Yeah. No surprise there because, anytime there's a structure of any kind that's vacant for any reason, we're all wondering who can move in there. I wonder. But
we do remember that there are residents still living in those buildings.
Yes. So
the buildings are livable. They will require some upgrades for the campus, but it's not as if they're going to fall down in the next 10 years. So people are living there, and they are livable.
And there's that beautiful, the center of the SDC, that beautiful historic building we all hope there's something that can be done with that in terms of upgrades, et cetera, because, it would be a shame to feel like everything, or at least that building and those surrounding it would have to be leveled because we couldn't come up with the money somehow to do the upgrades necessary. But it's a big transition in our community, as you well know, and certainly in terms of the people who live there, the people who work there and have worked there over the years, and the site itself. It really is an integral part of our community.
But I want to assure the community but that both Senator Mike McGuire and Senator Dodd and I are absolutely committed to the most open public process imaginable to start the planning and discussion about what is appropriate for the site, what is the level of development that may be accommodated both from an infrastructure, roads, water perspective. So there are no discussions happening behind doors about the future. It's all going to be out there in the public.
Well, I look forward to hearing about progress on this front. I know a lot has been made and some yet to go as we consider closing the doors of the SDC, that is, by the end of this year. Supervisor Gorin, thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk more about this as we trudge through 2018.
And indeed we will. Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. That is Supervisor Susan Gorin, and she represents the district on which the Sonoma Developmental Center lies.